Folkcast 011. It's November 2006.
Hello and welcome to Folkcast, bringing you the best in folk, folk rock, singer-songwriter and roots-based music from Great Britain and beyond. Your hosts are, as ever, Phil Widows, that's him.
And Ken Nicol, that's him. In another show packed full of explosive delights, we have a crackling fusillade of music, our folklore guru Baba in sparkling form to discuss the traditions of November.
Phil?
Yeah?
What are you going on about?
Well, it's bonfire season, innit? I'm extending the Guy Fawkes-style metaphors.
Ah, right.
Ken will be getting all strung up, chatting about things that go twang in his guitar workshop.
Eh? Strung up?
Yeah, Guy Fawkes. They hanged him, remember? And worse. Go with me on this one. Right, we'll be lighting the blue touch paper under the mighty rocket that is folk singer and guitarist Bob Fox, who has a new album out on the shelves called The Blast. Oh, I love it when an analogy comes together.
Phil, you get worse, if that's possible. Okay, let's start with a song from Bob Fox to get us in the mood. This is The Galway Shore.
In Oranmore, in the County Galway, one pleasant evening in the month of May, I spied a damsel. She was fair and handsome, and a beauty fairly took my breath away. She wore no jewels, no costly diamonds, no paint, no powder, no none at all. She wore a bonnet with ribbons on it, and around the shoulder was the Galway shawl. We kept on walking, and she kept on talking, till her father's cottage came into view. She said, "Come in, sir, and meet my father, and for to please him, play the foggy dew." She wore no jewels, no costly diamonds, no paint, no powder, no none at all. She wore a bonnet with ribbons, and around her shoulder was the Galway shawl. Well, up lit the blackbird, I played the stack of barley, I played Rodney's glory and the foggy dew. She sang each note, sir, like an Irish linnet, and the tears down fell from her eyes of blue. And she wore no jewels, no costly diamonds, no paint, no powder, no none at all. She wore a bonnet with ribbons on it, and around her shoulder was the Galway shore. It was early, early, early in the morning. I hit the road for old Donegal. She said goodbye, sir, and as she cried, sir, my heart stayed with her and the Galway shore. And she wore no jewels, no costly diamonds, no paint, no powder, no, none at all. She wore a bonnet with ribbons on it, and around her shoulder was the Galway number
That was In the Fire by David Gunn, a singer-songwriter originally from the borders of Scotland, and now in London via Edinburgh, and a year in Illinois. If you're in London, watch out for David playing the open mic circuit. Before that, you heard traditional song The Galway Shawl, performed by Bob Fox, and we'll be talking to Bob later in the show.
OK, more music. Sarah Aubrey is one of Australia's best-known voiceover artists, and now she's formed her own band. This is Sarah Aubrey and the Audiovisual Club with Empty Room.
So it's come to this. You put me in a paper boat. You set me free and you watched me float away. So it's come to this. Angry words and hang up lines. I know I'm just wasting time on you. So it's come to this. You wanna see your friends and leave. Don't wanna spend time with me at all. I've been here before. I was wanting more. So it's come to this. Humiliation in an empty room. Not even a see you soon from you. So it's come to this. Goodbyes are hard to take when you are always running away. I've been here before. I was wanting more. Don't tell me this is love. Cause you just wanna be alone tonight. So it's come to this. You're feeling like you're not good enough. Not willing to take on love this time. I've been here before. I was wanting more. Don't tell me this is love. So it's come to this. You put me in a paper boat. You set me free and watched me float away.
Thank you.
Ireland's Linda Coogan with Where I Belong There, taken from her debut album Holding Back. And before that, Empty Room by Sarah Aubrey and the Audiovisual Club. To find out more about them and all the artists we feature on Folkcast, check out the show notes at our website, folkcast.co.uk. Also, if you're a newcomer to Folkcast and want to hear any or all of our previous shows, they're all available online for free. See the archive section at folkcast.co.uk for full details. And now, polish up your plectrum as we go over to Dr. Ken for another session in his guitar workshop.
This month I'm going to talk about tuning the guitar. And when I say tuning, I don't just mean tuning the strings in the conventional sense, but also we're going to look at the many different ways in which a guitar can be tuned and the effect that these tunings can give. I know all this might sound a bit confusing to someone who's a newcomer to the world of guitar playing, and especially to some of those who don't play at all, so I'll do my best to keep things simple. Of course, some of the things I'll illustrate and describe to you here are better done when we can actually see each other. So what I will do is I'll leave a few addresses on our Folkcast site of various web pages that relate to this subject. Now, one of the most important things we need to know here is how we name and number the strings on the guitar. I taught the guitar for quite a few years, and I was quite often surprised by how many players, and I'm not just talking about beginners, but how many players got the names and the numbers of the strings confused with each other. So let's take it from the beginning, just so that we know what we're talking about. Okay, as you hold the guitar in the playing position and look down to the strings, which is what I'm doing at the moment, the closest one to you is the sixth string. That's this string. And even though it's the closest, it's actually the bottom string because it's the lowest in pitch. The thinnest string is the first string, the top E. Now, what most of us would call conventional tuning would be this. If we start from the top string, we've got the E. On the second string, that's tuned to a B. The third string is G. The fourth string is the D string. The fifth string is A. And now we're at the bottom string, the bottom E. Now, very many of us these days use electronic tuners because it makes the job of keeping a guitar in tune a whole lot easier. However, over the years, I've used many different methods. I do use an electronic tuner a lot, especially when I'm on stage with Steel Eye. When I do my solo gigs, I tend to tune the guitar by ear. But some of the different methods of tuning are, for example, you can tune the guitar to the notes on the piano. You can use a tuning fork to the same effect. Of course, if you've got perfect pitch, you don't have to use any of them. You've got the notes in your head to start with. But basically, my advice is try not to become totally reliant on an electronic tuner. It's smart to listen to notes. Listen to the colour of the notes and hear how they sound together. That way, you develop what's called relative pitch, and you'll be able to tune the guitar even when the battery in your tuner dies on you. Open tunings, I would say, are used very much by guitar players in the folk genre. It's something that you associate largely with that kind of guitarist. And if we want to use open tunings, probably one of the best ways we can start is by using what's called a drop D tuning. This is done by just taking your E string, your bottom E string, and taking it down in pitch a whole tone. Now, a whole tone is two notes. So we'll take it from an E down to a D. Okay. Now we can use our fourth string as a reference. That's a good way to do it. So if we start again, but use this fourth string, the fourth string is the D string, and take the E string down to that note. Same note, an octave lower. Now, if you've never done this before, try it and play your standard D chord. But this time, strum all six strings and you'll get to hear how big it sounds. Then you'll get an idea of why we use open tunings. Listen to this. Okay. One of the most commonly used and most well-known open tunings in the folk world is probably Dadgad. This is an extension, really, of the drop D tuning. The name of the tuning tells you exactly what notes the strings are tuned to, from the sixth string up to the first. D, A, D, G, A, D. The bottom string goes down a full tone. Remember, that's two notes to a D, because we're already on that D, so that's good. The fifth string stays where it is, so does the fourth and the third. That just leaves the top two, the first and the second string. The second one will go down a full tone from the B to the A. And the top E string goes down a full tone to the D. So we've got a D on the bottom string, on the fourth string, and on the top string. This is how it sounds when all the six strings are strummed. Here's a few bars of a tune of mine called In the Wake of Forward Motion that I play in Dadgad. Another tuning that I use quite a lot is open C tuning. The notes here from the bottom string are C, that's tuned down two full tones. The fifth string is tuned down to a G. The fourth string goes down to C. The third stays where it is. The second string goes up a semitone to C, and the top string stays on E. This is the sound of the tuning. As you can hear, it's very nice and full. And here are just a few bars of an instrumental that I play in this tuning. This is The Water Is Wide. Now, I'm fully aware that there are many of us who are fearful, and I've seen this in my teaching experience, fearful of taking the strings up in pitch or down in pitch because they think they're not going to find their way back again. However, get through that fear and you'll find out just how much fun it is playing in open tuning. And you'll also find out that every single one of them has its own unique character and colour. So start turning those machine heads now. You could also go and listen to some of the great exponents of open tuning, such as Martin Carthy, Nick Jones, or Nick Drake, and you'll hear just how effective it can be.
And if you have any questions about guitar care, maintenance, or even how to play the darn things, drop us an email to contact@folkcast.co.uk and Ken will give you the benefit of his wisdom.
Bob Fox's musical career started in the folk clubs of his native northeast of England, where he became resident singer at the celebrated Davy Lamp Club. Later, he toured in a duo with fiddler Tom McConville, before teaming up for two albums with Stu Luckley. Bob was special guest on Folkport Convention's national tour during February 2000, and later that year he recorded his first solo album, The Wonderful Dreams Never Leave You. In August 2000, Bob's solo set delighted the fans at the Cropperty Festival, and he has subsequently compared the event.
During 2002, Bob joined fellow Northeasterner Jed Grimes in The Hush, a six-piece band playing traditional Northeastern songs in innovative ways. Featuring Bob on guitar, mandolin and vocals, The Hush's debut album, Dark to the Sky, gained a nomination at the 2003 BBC Radio 2 Folk Awards. And in 2004, Bob was again nominated at the Folk Awards, was shortlisted as Folk Singer of the Year, and his interpretation of the song My Love is in America gained its writer, Chris Leslie of Fairport Convention, a nomination for Best Original Song.
Now he's released his second solo album, The Blast, which has been produced by John Thames. Before we talk to Bob, here's a cut from that album. Written by Jez Lowe, this is Taking On Men.
There's a call on the docks that they're taking on men, taking on men. Idle time's over there, taking on men. So get out of your beds and get down there. The gates are wide open, they're taking on men, they're taking on men. There's keels to be laid in dry dock and dry pen, to build on a fine reputation. There's talk of big paybacks and 15-month contracts for skilled men and labourers, for clerks and apprentices. Swan shouts to Neptune, we're taking on men, and they're heading in droves to the river. There's a call on the docks that they're taking on men, they're taking on men. Your idle time's over there, taking on men. So get out of your beds and get down there. The sweet ring of chains means they're taking on men, they're taking on men. And steel, scrip and concrete, they're taking on men. It's a lullaby straight off the water. There's good men have died for it, fought with the Clyde for it, rivaled with Barrow from Wallsend to Jarrow. But it's gone in our favour, it's good times again, and I tell you, it's just like the old days. They'll haul plate and pipe as the language gets ripe. There'll be bells ringing, horns blaring, crack of the dawn swearing. It's not been as busy since God could know when. We'll be sneezing in satin in no time. There's a call on the docks that they're taking on men, they're taking on men. Your idle time's over there, taking on men. So get out of your beds and get down there. Remember the days they were taking on men, taking on men. We took it for granted that taking on men would always be how we'd make wages. But some say that needy days turned into greedy days. Kings of the industry are Polish and Japanese. And gone are the days they were taking on men, and the quayside's a drunken man's playground. My gone are the days they were taking on men. So get back to your beds and your memories.
And we welcome Bob Fox to Folkcast. Hi Bob, how are you doing?
Hello Phil, I'm very well, thanks. I'm just actually having a few days off in the middle of a fairly hectic tour that I'm doing with Billy Mitchell at the moment.
Great, yeah, and a man who's out on the road a lot. You seem to be forever on tour.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. you know, you've got to work when you can get it.
Absolutely.
I have spent a few, you know, some time in the past where I didn't have very much work, so... I tend not to turn very much down these days.
Very wise, yes. Now we're here to talk about your new album, The Blast, which is quite a different record to the last album, Dreams Never Leave You, whereas that was with the full band, with the backing of Fairport Convention, really. This one is a much more stripped-down piece of work. So what was the attraction of going for that sort of stripped-down style?
It was really... As a result of being asked to do something like that, a lot of people who bought the albums, you know, they send emails and they say, you know, we'd like to hear just you and the guitar. And a lot of people around me said, you know, why don't you just do an album of you and the guitar? And then, of course, you know, a couple of years ago when I signed for Topic Records, that was the main thing that they wanted me to do. And although the first one I did a couple of years ago, Borrowed Moments, I thought I had kind of stripped it down as much as everybody wanted. And I used sort of double bass player, and I used Anna Ryder here and there on the accordion and little bits and pieces. When I got into the studio with John Tams, who produced this most recent one,
mm-hmm.
He said, you know, just sit down and play me a few things. And every time I played him something, he said, oh, that's great, just like that. We'll just have it just like that. And in the end, it just turned out that that we left everything, you know, completely just one voice, one guitar. But essentially, it's just me sitting down in the studio playing and singing.
Yeah, now, both you and John have got great voices, very distinctive voices. Would it have killed you to have done a duet together on this album and brought the two together? Because that would have been, I think, something very special.
I think it just wasn't appropriate as the album developed. There were times when we sat down in the studio and he was playing other instruments, you know. And then in the end he just said, well, you know, once we start doing this, where do you stop?
You know, sure.
Once I've put a guitar or my voice on, you know, do we get a bass player? Do we get something else? And it was really his idea to say, no, let's just have this you and your guitar. Maybe in the future we'll do something together. I know that we're going to do a live version of the Radio Ballads at the Celtic Connections Festival in January.
Oh, fantastic.
The first half is going to be selections of songs from the ballads, and the second half, because it's in Glasgow, the second half is going to be the Ballad of the Big Ships,
mm-hmm.
because it's about the Tyne and the Clyde. And it's a big team, you know. Kate Lusby's going to be there. You know, Kate's going to sing songs. John Tams, Barry Coop, me, Jez Lowe. And we're going to have Andy Cutting and John McCusker in the band, and Andy Stewart. So it's going to be a pretty good sort of, a bit of a dream team, really.
That'll be a great show to see, without a doubt, absolutely. There's Bob Fox on his own, and then there's Bob Fox working with in various duos and with the Hush, of course. What do those two sides of your career bring to you? And which one do you prefer, in a way? Because they must offer yeah, different things to you.
It's a hard question because I think everybody, every musician really likes to work with other musicians because it gives you something to spark off, you know. It also sort of realizes the music that's in your head sometimes. If you can, you know, a lot of the time when I'm singing and playing just on my own, I'm hearing other things that I would really like to happen, you know, bass and drums and accordion, all sorts of things, you know. And when you actually start working with a band, it's just all there around you, you know, it's kind of all realised. And it also keeps you, you know, keeps you on your toes, keeps you enthusiastic, because it's a pretty solitary life working solo all the time, which is why I keep looking for little projects to do that are just one-offs, you know.
Well, my colleague Ken here has got some technical, musical questions for you. So,
okay.
So I know he's keen to find out about your various tunings.
Well, it's funny. Oh, hi, Bob. Yeah. Hi, Bob. How you doing?
Yeah, hi.
Well, I think the first time I heard you play, Bob, was at a party up at Roger Bucknell's house.
Oh, well, yeah.
Do you remember that?
I remember.
And I saw you play there with Stu Luckley.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, I was very impressed, actually. Very impressed. I know that you play file guitars, yeah?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I've had a filed since the mid-70s, and I've used a filed bouzouki as well for all the time I used to play with Stu.
I noticed that on the album. Well, I think you were using Dadgad quite a lot on the on some of the tracks.
I only use two tunings. One is standard, and one is Dadgad.
Mm-hmm.
And I occasionally use standard tuning with the bottom string down the D.
Sure.
But that's all. That's all I ever use. I think. I never got any further than Dadgad, because Dadgad did everything that I wanted from a tuning, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But I noticed on the track, is it called Troops Cut Down?
The Trooper Cut Down, yeah.
Trooper Cut Down. Yeah. That's in a minor key, isn't it? It's like a D minor. That's a D minor tuning, is it? Or it's
no, that's Dadgad.
That's Dadgad, but it's just you're just playing a minor figure in that tuning. All right,
yeah.
Okay.
One of the things about the album is that when I first went to do it, John Tams said, sit down and play me some things that you've got in mind for the album. And I played him the things that I'd been working on, which he liked, and said, yeah, great, great, great. And then he said, and play me some things that you've worked on or that you put together years ago but never recorded. The Trooper Cut Down was one song that I had worked out years ago but never done anything with. Mm-hmm. And the other thing was the combination of two songs, the Diamond and the Song of the Wheel.
Right. Yeah.
And when I used to do them a few years ago, I did them for a little while live, but never recorded them. I used to do them in D, you know, in Dadgad, in D. So when I sat and started to try and play them in D, the top notes were just a little bit of a reach for me now that I'm that bit older, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, I don't think I could, I don't think I could let that go because I really was stretching for the top notes. And John just said, well, why don't you just edge the guitar down half a tone and see if it makes a difference? Right. And it did.
Mm-hmm.
It made just enough difference for me on the top notes, and I don't think it made the guitar sound slappy at all. Because I use medium gauge strings anyway, so
right,
going down a half a tone didn't really hurt it very much.
No, well, it sounded great to me. Also, the other day, well, I knew we were going to do this interview, and I turned the radio on. It was a local folk program, and immediately there was this voice that came out of the radio, and I thought that's Bob. And then I realised, well, I found out it was Billy Mitchell at the end. But I found it very interesting that the two of you were actually intending to go out on tour together.
I mean, we've known each other for years, you know. We've both followed kind of parallel paths, but in different, you know, he's always been the songwriter, the contemporary side of things, mm-hmm. you know, almost into the rock and pop scene with Lindisfarne and Jack Ballard. And I've stayed very much in the folky thing, but we've known each other for years and we've always liked what each other did. But a couple of years ago, it ended up in a situation where he was actually performing in a pantomime up here in Newcastle, mm-hmm. and I was in the band that was playing at the pantomime, and I did that 2 years running, so I did it 2 years ago and last year, and you know, it's kind of two shows a day, a matinee and an evening show all through the Christmas period. You know, you make good wages at it and all that sort of thing. It's quite good fun. And in some of the breaks, you know, we would go to the pub next door and just have a bit of crack and things. Mm-hmm. And last year I just broached the idea. I said, fancy doing a tour together, you know, because it might capture the imagination. We might both draw each other as audiences, and so we would play fuller houses than we normally play too. And he said, yeah, great. And it's worked fantastically well.
I imagine it would. he's got a great voice as well, hasn't he? Does everybody sing like that in the Northeast?
I think it's because we're both singers first,
yeah,
and
yeah.
instrumentalists second, that we put on such a good show. Because, I mean, you know, we're both concerned about the song. You know, the song is always the important thing. And we've actually just at the moment we've recorded two or three of the gigs, and we were just in the studio yesterday having a good listen to it, and there's definitely a live CD going to come out of it probably the beginning of December.
So plenty of Bob Fox product out there for people to dip into in time for Christmas. That's always a good idea. You mentioned there, Bob, that you've always stuck into the traditional area of folk music. What was it that drew you to that in the first place, and how did you first come across folk music?
I was at school. I was just teaching myself to play the acoustic guitar, and I was learning Yardbirds things, and the Beatles came along, so I learned all the Beatles songs. And one of the music teachers the music teacher at the school I was at had this sort of philosophy of getting people to bring in the stuff that they were listening to, and everybody had to listen to it, you know, so that we all got a kind of view of what each other was listening to. And one day, one of the lads brought in Martin Carthy's very first album, the one where he's sitting cross-legged on a pallet sort of being lifted up into the air by a crane. And they put that on, and I was just knocked sideways by it, by the fact that these songs were proper stories. Most of them were proper stories, and they were ancient songs, but they kind of touched me. And, you know, I thought there was some kind of connection instantly between, well, to quote a line from the Big River song of Jimmy Neal wrote, you know, a connection between our future and our past, you know. And so I got that album and I listened to it, and there was a coal mining song on there called the Ballad of the Spring Hill Mine Disaster, written by Peggy Teague, I think it was. And of course, I came from a coal mining town, And that song struck a chord. And I thought, you know, there must be songs like that around here, about things that happened around here. And so I started to look out the local folk club, and then all of a sudden this huge cultural thing opened up for me.
And you've never looked back from there, really? Cause that today is very much the core of your material, the plight of the working man and the fighting man,
yeah.
Really.
I think it is. I always tend to choose songs that have that kind of depth, if you like. And although I don't go around shoving it down people's throats in the way that some other performers do, I think everybody knows what my standpoint is.
Interesting. You mentioned the link between the past and the future. One song on the new album, and we've mentioned it already, exemplifies that the blending of the Diamond and Song of the Whale, which is all about the same thing, but with two different viewpoints, really. I think if we'll play that song now, so if you can introduce it, we'll say goodbye to Bob Fox after that.
Well, the pairing of the Bonnie Ship, the Diamond, and the Song of the Humpback Whale came about because I had known the Diamond is one of the old folk club standards, and when I was in Australia quite a long time ago, I met a guy called Richard Collins. And he was singing the Song of the Humpback Whale, which was written by Eric Bogle. And I nicked the song off him straight away because I loved that song. And it was quite a long time later that I discovered my granddad, his Christian name was Greenland. And Greenland is a very unusual Christian name, obviously. But when I researched everything, I discovered that quite a lot of the time the pitmen would come out of the pits and would actually go on the whaling ships that went out of the Tyne and the Wear. And they would go and sail up to Greenland, and they would do the whaling season, you know. And so I just got this kind of fanciful idea, which is probably not far from the truth, that my granddad maybe got his name because he was one of the people that went up and did that. And so I thought, well, you know, that was something that they did to make a very, very hard living when there was a kind of fairness in whaling, you know, where a lot of the whales got away. A lot of the fellas that were chasing them got killed, and so there was a sort of fairness, if you like, compared to the way it's done, or the way that it was developed into the factory ships and the, you know, rocket-propelled harpoons and all that stuff. And I mean, you know, they're trying to bring it back. They're trying to get the whaling ban taken away, you know, so that they can go and do all that again. So I just thought it was a nice way to put two points of view.
Excellent. Well, great talking to you, Bob.
I'm sorry.
Been nice talking to you, Bob.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much for joining us on Folkcast.
Cheers,
my
Bob.
Pleasure.
Oh, the Diamond is a ship, my lads, for the Davis Stretch is bound. The decks, they are all garnished with bonny lasses round. Captain Thompson gives the order to sail the ocean wide, where the sun never sets, my lads, and darkness fills the skies. Cheer up, my lads. Let your hearts never fail, for the bonny ship, the Diamond, goes fishing for the whale. And it's cheer up, me lads, let your hearts never fail, for the bonny ship, the Diamond, goes fishing for the whale. The saddest song I ever heard is the song of a humpback whale. For he sighs and moans and his eerie groans sing a sad familiar tale. For he sighs and blows as if he knows his race is nearly run. And soon with all of his kind he'll fall before the whaler's gone. All along the quay at Peterhead the lasses stand around with their shawls all pulled round them and salt tears running down. Don't you weep, me bonny lass, though you'll be left behind, for the rose will grow on Greenland's ice before we change our minds. And it's cheer up, me lads, let your hearts never fail, for the bonny ship, the Diamond, goes fishing for the whale. And it's cheer up, me lads, let your hearts never fail, for the bonny ship, the Diamond, goes fishing for the whale. Now for every living thing on earth, nature has found a space. Each a living strand of a fragile plan that can never be replaced. And it's not from need, but from want and greed, man has torn down nature's web. And with greed possessed, he will not rest till the last of the whales is dead. Here's a health to the resolution, likewise the Eliza Swan. Here's a health to the Butler of Montrose and the Diamond Ship of Fame. We wear the trousers of the white and the jackets of the blue. When we return to Peterhead, we'll have sweethearts anew. And it's cheer up, me lads, let your hearts never fail. For the Bonnie Ship, the Diamond, goes fishing for the whale. And it's cheer up, me lads, let your hearts never fail. For the Bonnie Ship, the Diamond, goes fishing for the whale.
Forgetting my past so soon, and now I can see that it's just like being born. Without all the lights, the tears, the drinking, the fat. And the wind tastes kinda gray. Now my eyes don't see the same. Whoa, take me back to the summer rain, where people on the street stop to speak. A party on the pier, session in the lounge, back along the shores of my quiet time. Holding my hand, yet she is nowhere near. Oh, I miss my girl, my town, the midnight sky. Without all the lights, the tears, the drink, and the facts. Where the sky meets the sea and the air tastes so sweet. Oh, take me back to the summer rain, where people on the street stop to speak. A party on the pier, session in the lounge, back along the shores of my quiet time. Do And the wind tastes kind of gray. Now my eyes don't see the same. Won't take me back to the summer rain, where people on the street stop to speed. Your party on the pier, session in the lounge, back along the shores of my quiet town. Whoa, whoa.
House was black from the millstone grit and the smoke from the cotton mills, and the river disappeared underneath the streets on its way down the Pennine Hills. On Sundays we walked up on Whitworth Moor or played hide and seek in Healy Dell, and on Mondays I walked to school down the Spotland Road. On Saturday the crowd walked past our door on their way to the game, though the club never made it out of the fourth division till the FA changed its name. And the brightest young players went to brilliant careers down the road in Oldham or Burnley, and the glory days never came down the Spotland Road. The cotton mills closed for maintenance during Whit Week every year, and the foreman went to Southport and the bosses to St Anne's, and the rest of us down the common for the Whit Week fair. But one by one the cotton mills, they closed down forever, and now nobody walks to work down the Spotland Road. I could tell you about one or two of our claims to fame, Gracie Fields and the bus to Ashton-under-Lyne and the Co-op down Toad Lane. I moved away from home when I was still a boy, and I walk no more down the Spotland Road. I walk no more down the Spotland Road.
Some hometown memories there. Rochdale-born John Mead was singing about life in a Lancashire that doesn't really exist anymore in his song Spotland Road. And before that, a homesick memory from Jordan Ogg, who is a folk singer from the Shetland Islands and really should team up with the guitarist from U2. Then they could call themselves Air Jog. And now...
And now, as the nights draw in and winter draws on, sit down by your crackling fireside and hark to the tales of folk traditions for the month of November. Who shall tell us these stories?
Some say that he lives under a hedge in the shadow of Glastonbury Tor.
Others claim that his fingernail clippings are a powerful aphrodisiac for lovelorn pandas.
We just know him as... Baba.
Hello, and welcome to the Folk Notes calendar for November.
Thank you.
The name November comes from the Roman word novem, meaning nine, because it was the ninth month in their calendar. Now, the Anglo-Saxons called November Windmoneth, because it was the time when the cold winds began to blow, and they also used to refer to it as Bloodmoneth, because it was also the time when cattle were slaughtered for winter food. The first week of November then has always been a time of festivals and celebrations, marking the real end of the harvest and the beginning of winter. In the year 835 AD, the Roman Catholic Church made November the 1st a church holiday to honour all the saints. This feast day is called All Saints' Day or All Hallows, and it's followed by All Souls' Day. On All Souls' Day, the Christian Church remembers all those who have died. Like Halloween, All Souls' Day has pagan origins in the Feast of Samhain, and was a time when people lit candles and bonfires to guide the soul's way to the afterlife. Later, it became the custom for poorer Christians to offer prayers for the dead in return for money or food in the form of soul cakes from their wealthier neighbours. People would go souling, rather like carol singing, requesting alms or soul cakes, which are like hot cross buns, but without the currants or the cross on the top. Soulers would go around the houses, singing songs, and they were often joined by our old friend the hobby horse, which you might remember back in Padstow for May Day celebrations, the hobby horses danced through the town. Well, at this time of the year, he's called the Hooden Horse. It was believed that the dead revisited their homes on All Souls' Night, so lit candles were left out to guide them, and meals and wine were left as refreshment. All Saints' Day and All Souls' Day are known collectively as Hallowtide. In the early days of November, in northeast Derbyshire and South Yorkshire villages, children would engage in a bout of jolly minoring. A local variant on Penny for a Guy traditions, the aim was to raise money for sweets and fireworks. Their arms song started, "We're three jolly miners and we're not worth a pin, so give us a piece of coal and we'll make the kettle sing." The song itself comes from an earlier time when the aim of the activity was to gather coal, either for the bonfire hole or simply to light fire to cook and make the kettle sing. Bonfire night, of course, is one of the most widespread and most observed of all British customs. November the 5th was declared a holiday by decree of Parliament, after Parliament was saved from being blown up by Guy or Guido Fawkes in the Gunpowder Plot of 1605. And until 1859, all parish churches were required to hold services on this day. Unlike today, celebrations were held throughout the whole day, with bells ringing, cannons firing, and beer flowing. Today, as for the last 400 years, effigies of Guy Fawkes or other hated figures are burned on top of large bonfires. And as the bonfires burn, fireworks are let off in wonderful and spectacular displays. And just as in 1605, a new session of Parliament in London is still opened by the reigning monarch at the beginning of November. Unless there's been a general election in the same year, when the opening of Parliament is in May. Martin Mass, also known as Martel Mass, falls on the 11th of November, and it was a time for celebrations with great feasts and hiring fairs at which farm labourers would seek new posts. It was also the time when autumn wheat sowing took place, and certainly in the south of Derbyshire, it was the farmers' custom to provide a cakes and ale feast for workers. Their special cakes were made with seeds and whole grains, and they were called hopper cakes. The beef from cattle that were slaughtered on this day was called Martel Mass beef. But since 1918, the 11th of November has been commemorated as Armistice Day, and really pretty much all remnants of the old Martinmas celebrations have disappeared. Second Sunday in November, the Lord Mayor's Show takes place in London to mark the start of the new Lord Mayor of London's year in office. The first Lord Mayor's Show was held in 1215, and since its inception, nothing, the plague, Great Fire of London, war, nothing has stopped the show. The newly elected mayor makes his or her way from the Mansion House to the Royal Courts of Justice to pledge allegiance to the Crown, just as Dick Whittington did in 1397. And he did it again in 1406 and 1419. These days, the show takes the form of a parade, with many floats sponsored by the ancient guilds of London or by local businesses. St. Cecilia's Day falls on November the 22nd. St. Cecilia was a Roman woman who was martyred in the 2nd or 3rd century, but we like her a lot on Folkcast because she's the patron saint of musicians. And that's why concerts and recitals are often given on St. Cecilia's Day. November the 23rd, the next day, is St. Clement's Day, the patron saint of blacksmiths. It was the custom in former times for one of their number, in a greatcoat, mask and a long white beard, to be carried through the streets on the shoulders of his mates. One companion strode along beside him with a huge wooden anvil, and another, as if to protect him, carried a great wooden sledge. From his perch, the saint made a speech beginning, "Gentlemen all, attention give, and wish Saint Clement long to live." The feast of Saint Clement is still observed in some of the dockyards of London. Masters of the trade give a dinner to their workmen and apprentices, which features a Wayes goose, which, in the manner of many folk traditions, is of course not a goose at all. It's a leg of pork, stuffed with sage and onion. And coming right up to the end of the month, November the 30th, is St. Andrew's Day, the patron saint of Scotland. It's a day dedicated to celebrating Scottish traditions and culture. The Edinburgh Castle Open Day is held on St Andrew's Day every year, and elsewhere throughout the country, dinners, dances, ceilidhs and balls are held to mark the occasion. And by the way, if you fancy going out hunting a few squirrels in November, let me tell you, in England, it used to be traditional to go squirrel hunting on the eve of St Andrew's. Well, that brings us to the end of the folk traditions for November. I'll be back next month to tell you all about what's going on in December. But until then, this is your Uncle Baba saying, fare thee well.
Thanks, Baba. Fascinating as ever.
From the traditional to the very modern now. I was delighted to see that the number of Folkcast listeners who have joined our Frapper map has now passed 112, with people in Europe, North America, Africa, Asia and Australia all joining the party. And remember, folks, that Frapper is more than a map, it has a forum attached, so if you want to discuss anything you hear on Folkcast, or indeed in the wider folky world with fellow Folkcast listeners, please pitch in with a comment. As ever, follow the links from our website, folkcast.co.uk, to get involved.
And speaking of the website, we'll get the begging bowl out at this point, I think. It takes both time and money to put Folkcast together every month. We do it for the love of it, and because we believe in it. And it's good fun, I think. But if you value the show and want to contribute to keep us on the net, there's now an easy way to do that, by clicking the contribution button that you'll find on the front page of our website.
Okay, enough blather. Time for more music. Ken and the rest of Steel Eye Span are off on a tour of the UK later this month and in December, and they'll have a brand new studio album too. Here, in a Folkcast exclusive, is a first play from that new album. This is Bonnie Black Hair.
On the 14th of May, at the dawn of the day, with me down on my shoulder, to the woods I did stray, in search of some game, if the weather proved fair, to see can I get a shot at the Bonnie Black Hair. Like a rose, her skin was as fair as the lily that blows. Says I, my fair maiden, why ramble you so? Can you tell me where the bonny black hair do go? The answer she gave me, oh, the answer was no. But under me apron, they say it do blow. And if you'll not deceive me, I'll vow and declare we'll both go together to hunt the bonnie black hair. And trees, and the song that they sang was, she's easy to please. I felt her heart quiver, and I knew what I'd done. Says I, have you had enough of me old sporting young sportsman like you come this way. But if your powder is good and your bullets are fair, why don't you keep firing at the bonnie black hair? My powder's all wet and my bullets all spent, and I can't fire a shot for it's choked at the vent. And I'll be back in the morning if you are still here. We'll both go together to hunt the bonnie.
Bonnie Black Hair by Steel Eye Span there. And you can catch Steel Eye Span on their UK tour from November 24th to December 24th in Basingstoke,
Derby,
York,
Buxton,
High Wycombe,
Cardiff,
Bristol,
Milton Keynes,
Abergavenny,
Worcester,
Ilfracombe,
Milton Mowbray,
Ipswich,
Folkestone,
Reading,
Liscard,
Salisbury,
Hove,
Cheltenham,
and Bradford,
Preston,
and St Neots.
There's a link to the full details of all those dates from our website, folkcast.co.uk.
And that's all we have time for this month, which means that that was Folkcast 011 for November 2006, an independent podcast produced and presented in Preston, England, by Ken Nicol and Phil Widows. Our special guest star was the fab Bob Fox. Uncle Baba came to you courtesy of the field recording skills of Mike Master Merrick.
Our special thanks to the Podsafe Music Network, the Woven Wheat Whispers music download service, and to you for downloading and listening. Visit the show notes page at folkcast.co.uk for full details of all the music we played this month. Please support the artists you hear on Folkcast by following the links from our show notes to their websites, where often you can find even more great music. Also, join the Folkcast community by putting your pin in the Folkcast Frapper map, wherever in the world you may be, and by chatting to fellow folk fans via the Frapper forum. Follow the links from our website at www.folkcast.co.uk. The next Folkcast will probably be available from the first Saturday of next month.
And here's a blast of klezmer music to play us out and put a smile on your face. From the album Ooh Sasa by the terrific Mini Musica, this is The Magic Violin.
See that puppet master pulling the strings, sitting in the branches and scratching his chins, wriggling his fingers and dangling his feet over all the places where he's never been. Down below, a mermaid dances on a piece of string. In the musicalia, she is free of him and sailing far away in a magic violin. In the musicalia, she is free of him and sailing far away. Magic violin. See him throwing pennies down from the tree, a copper and confetti from a marriage of thieves. On his middle finger, one blood red wedding ring, burning like a fire up there in the leaves. And down below, a mermaid dances on a piece of string. In the musicalia, she is free of him and sailing far away in a magic violin. In the musicalia, she is free of him and sailing far away in a magic violin. Master wearing a rose, hiding all the thorns beneath Savile Row clothes. Got so many, many strings, only so many fingers, and one of those is always up his nose. And down below, a mermaid